Hey, good evening and Merry Christmas on this Christmas Eve. My name is Brian Davis. I'm lead pastor at Fairlawn Nazarene Church. This is my wife, Lou Ann.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and we are just excited to have you join us tonight to take about the next 25 minutes and just spend it with us on this Christmas Eve as we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, and then we look forward to his coming again. We've been on this Advent journey the last few weeks. Advent is a time for us to prepare our hearts, not only to celebrate when he did come 2,000 years ago, but the fact that he's coming again one day. We've been using the Advent wreath, and each of the candles that are on the Advent wreath represent a different aspect of his coming. For instance, on the first week, we lit the candle of hope. And then the second week, we lit the candle of peace. On the third week, we lit the candle of joy. And then last week, we lit the candle of love. And on this Christmas Eve, we light the center candle, the white one, which is the Christ candle. Isaiah told us about his coming many, many years ago. When?
Isaiah says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end."
You bow your heads with me for just a moment as we pray together. Heavenly Father, on this Christmas Eve, we come together and we are thankful for the hope. We're thankful, Father, for the peace, thankful for the joy, for the love that you put in our hearts. So thankful for Jesus Christ and the fact that he came into our world to save us. Give us courage, we pray, to hope. Give us strength to seek peace. Fill our spirits with joy and our hearts with love. And may Christ be at the center of this Christmas season. May Christ be at the center of our lives today. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Watch this video.
Hi, I'm Pastor Nicole, and will you join me as I read scripture on the birth of Jesus? We are in Luke 2, and it's verses 1 through 7. At the time of the Roman Emperor, Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from a village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who he was now expecting a child with. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. This is the word of God.
To a place unexpected, would you believe after all we've rejected? A child in a manger, lowly and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero, wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child. Is this who we've waited for?
Step down from their thrones. How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? And how many gods have poured out their hearts to roam as a world that is torn all apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me?
Thank you, ladies. That is an awesome song. It's one of my favorites. It reminds me of what Jesus gave up to come and to live amongst us and to go through all the stuff that we go through and then to die for us on the cross. It was a great sacrifice. He gave up all that just for me and just for you. So thanks for that song. Hey, every 4 years in our denomination, we have what is called a General Assembly. And Nazarenes gather from all over the world to report on what God's been doing in our tribe, to talk about our continuing mission, and to elect leaders for the coming 4 years. Lou and I went to our first assembly as pastors in 1989. Our son Michael was less than 2 years old. And I remember we had a reservation at a Days Inn on the outskirts of the city of Indianapolis because all the rooms downtown were filled. Everything around the convention center was full. And I can remember we had some good friends from college and seminary named Mike and Rayanne Ward. And their son, Jeffrey, was about the same age as Michael. And there was some kind of mix-up on their reservations. And Mike and Rayanne arrived a day earlier than when their room would be ready. So they tried to find a place to stay when the hotel turned them away, but couldn't find anywhere. I mean, they looked for miles and miles around, and nobody had a room in the inn for them. And so, you know, being friends of ours, we couldn't let them, you know, sleep in their car that night. So we invited them to share our room for one night. We had two beds, and so the Davis family of three occupied one bed, and then the Ward family of three occupied the other. It was kind of like being at camp, if you were going to compare it to something. We kind of lay there in the dark, sharing stories about life, laughing and talking about how Mike needed to get a better travel agent next time he was going to come to assembly. It was a time in our relationship that was a very important time that marked our friendship. Just one of those kind of things you don't go through with everybody. I think about that time when I hear the Christmas story, kind of like a general assembly in the Church of the Nazarene, a census had been ordered and everyone had to go to their hometown. And so Joseph and Mary took this long and wearing trip. It was taxing and inconvenient and disruptive to their lives, but they traveled to Bethlehem. And they made the journey to this crowded city, and when they got there, we're very disappointed to be told that there was nowhere for them to stay. And it's one thing whenever you're weary and tired from a long day's journey to hear somebody say, "Sorry, we don't have room for you." But when you add to that the urgency that a birth was about to happen, well, I mean, I can only imagine the dismay that Mary and Joseph must have felt at their predicament when Jesus was born. Not what they had imagined in their mind. Some of the saddest words on earth was, "We don't have room for you." That seems to kind of be a theme in Jesus's life. It's true of his birth. It was true when he became a teacher and the religious leaders, they had no room for him in their orthodoxy. Those who had authority, the Roman government, they had no room for him within their power structure. And most people had no room for them in their lives. Do you remember the thief who hung on the cross ridiculing and taunting Jesus? "We don't have room for you in this world," is basically what he was saying. I think today Jesus is given the same treatment. He goes from heart to heart asking if he might enter. And yet for many, there is no room. See, to make room for him is taxing and inconvenient and disruptive to our lives. And so many turn away. "I don't have room for you in my life right now." Maybe later on when the kids are grown and out of the house, I'll have more room for you. Or maybe later on, you know, when my career has gotten to a certain place and I'm not as busy, I'll have room for you. Or maybe later on, I've got some things I've got to deal with and things I've got to settle, and I've got some things in my life I've got to fix. So maybe later on, I'll have room for you. But right now, there is no room for you in my life. But ever so often, when Jesus knocks at the door of our heart, someone throws open the door and invites him in to stay. And that person, Jesus gives this great promise in John chapter 14, verse 2, "In my Father's house are many rooms." You see, we make room for him in our hearts, and Jesus makes room for us in his house. Can I ask you something tonight? Have you made room for him in your life? Have you invited him to come stay in your life? If not, he stands at the door and knocks. Revelation 3:20 says that if we'll open the door and let him come in, he'll fellowship with us. And the greatest, most awesome, most wonderful gift that you can receive this Christmas is the free gift of his salvation. All you need to do is make room for him. Will you bow your head and pray with me? Father, tonight, I pray that you would help us to make room for you. Father, I pray for that Christian who's been a follower of yours, but maybe has let worries and doubts and fears, maybe they've let the demands of this world, maybe they left the experiences of their life, maybe they've so filled their life with other things that they're having a hard time making room for you this evening. God, would you come in and clear out our house? God, would you come in and remove the things of this world that aren't as important? Remove our fears, remove our doubts, and put your joy and your peace and your hope and your love in our hearts and in our lives today, so that you might remain in us as the King of our lives. And Lord, I pray for that one who has not made room for you in their hearts and lives. Oh God, right now, that they would open the door, because you're standing there knocking on it, saying, I want to come in and be with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to live with you. I want to forgive your sin. I want to bring blessing and wholeness into your life again. Tonight, maybe that's your prayer. God, I want you to come in. I welcome you into my heart. You can pray this prayer with me or something like it. Lord Jesus, for too long, I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking, but by faith, I open the door and gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart. I make room for you, Lord Jesus. Be my Savior. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you prayed tonight and asked Christ into your heart, I would love it if you would let us know. You can message me on whatever platform that you're listening to this on, or you can email us, here at the church, and I'll get it. We just want to know what God's doing in your life and how maybe tonight he's spoken to you and help you as you start your journey of faith. Listen, I want to thank you tonight for spending part of your Christmas Eve with us. I know you don't have to. You have a choice of not only spending this time or even watching something else that's going on in another church, but I appreciate you spending the time with us tonight. I hope this has been a blessing to you. If it has, leave us a comment down in the comments and just let us know. We just want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. May God bless you and yours in these days.